ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I'm not sure what verse is up. Is it sixth verse? 1-6. Which one is on there? Is that Reta? That's text number 6. Okay. Text number 6 is also quite short, so we might move on to 7, just so you know. So we're starting chapter 18, which is entitled, Diti Vows to Kill King Indra. And we'll read the chapter summary first. This chapter gives the history of Diti, the wife of Kashyapa, and how she followed a vow to have a son who would kill Indra. It also describes how Indra attempted to foil her plan by cutting to pieces the son within her womb. In relation to Tvastha and his descendants, there is a description of the dynasty of the Adityas, sons of Aditi, and the other demigods. Vrishni, the wife of Aditi's fifth son, named Savita, had 3 daughters. Now, this is a lot of names here, so please bear with me. Savita had 3 daughters, Savitri, Vyahriti, and Trayi, and very exalted sons named Agnihotra, Pashu, Shoma, Chaturmasya, and the 5 Mahayagyas. Siddhi, the wife of Bhaga, had 3 sons named Mahima, Vibhu, and Prabhu. And she also had 1 daughter whose name was Ashi. Datta had 4 wives, Kuhu, Shinivali, Raka, and Anumati, who had 4 sons named Shyam, Darsha, Prata, and Purnamasa, respectively. Kriya, the wife of Vidata, gave birth to the 5 Purishas, who are representatives of 5 kinds of fire gods. Bhrigu, the mind-born son of Brahma, took his birth again from Charshani, the wife of Varuna. And the great sage Valmiki appeared from Varuna's semen. Agastya and Vashishta were 2 sons of Varuna and Mitra. Upon seeing the beauty of Urvasi, Mitra and Varuna discharged semen, which they kept in an earthen pot. From that pot, Agastya and Vashishta appeared. Mitra had a wife named Revati who gave birth to 3 sons, Utsarga, Arishta, and Pipala. Aditi had 12 sons, of whom Indra was the 11th. Indra's wife was named Polami, or Sachidevi. She gave birth to 3 sons, Jayanta, Rishabha, and Midusha. By his own powers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Vamanadeva. From his wife, whose name was Kirti, appeared a son named Brihadshloka. Brihadshloka's first son was known as Sobhaga. There is a description of the sons of Aditi, a description of Aditya Urukram, who is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will be offered in the 8th canto. The demons born of Diti are also described in this chapter. In the dynasty of Diti appeared the great saintly devotee Prahlad and also Bali, Prahlad's grandson. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were the first sons of Diti. Hiranyakashipu and his wife, whose name was Kayadu, had 4 sons, Samlada, Anulada, Halada, and Prahlada. They also had 1 daughter, whose name was Simhika. In association with the demon Viprachit, Samhika bore a son named Rahu, whose head was severed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kriti, the wife of Samlada, bore a son named Panchajana. Lada's wife, whose name was Damani, gave birth to two sons, Vitapi and Evala. Evala put Vatapi into the form of a ram and gave him to Agastya to eat. Anulada, in the womb of his wife, Surya, begot two sons named Baskala and Mahisha. Prahlad's son was known as Virochana, and his grandson was known as Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj had 100 sons, of whom Bana was the eldest. After describing the dynasty of the Adityas and the other demigods, Shukadeva Goswami describes Diti's sons known as the Maruts, and how they were elevated to the position of demigods. Just to help Indra, Lord Vishnu had killed Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Because of this, Diti was very envious, and she was eager to have a son who would kill Indra. By her service, she enchanted Kashyapa Muni in order to beg from him a greater son to do this. In corroboration of the Vedic injunction, Vidvangsang api karshati, Kashyapa Muni was attracted to his beautiful wife and promised to grant her any request. When, however, she requested a son who would kill Indra, he condemned himself and he advised his wife, Diti, to follow the Vaishnava ritualistic ceremonies to purify herself. When Diti, following the instructions of Kashyapa, engaged in devotional service, Indra could understand her purpose, and he began observing all her activities. One day, Indra had the opportunity to see her deviating from devotional service. Thus, she entered her womb and cut her son into 49 parts. In this way, the 49 kinds of air known as the Maruts appeared. But because Diti had performed the Vaishnava ritualistic ceremonies, all the sons became Vaishnavas. So, text number one, and then we'll move on to today's chanted verse. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Prishnis tu patni savitu, savitrim vyahritim traim, agni hotram pashun somam, chaturmasyam mahamakan. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Prishni, who was the wife of Savita, the fifth of the 12 sons of Aditi, gave birth to three daughters, Savitri, Vyahriti, and Trayi, and the sons named Agnihotra, Pashu, Shoma, Chaturmasya, and the five Mahayagyas. Siddhir Bhagasya Bharagan Ganga, Mahishmanam Vibhum Prabhum, Ashisham Cha Vararoham, Kanyam Pashuta Savratam. O King Siddhi, who was the wife of Bhaga, the sixth son of Aditi, bore three sons named Mahima, Vibhu, and Prabhu, and one extremely beautiful daughter whose name was Ashi. Datu Kuhu Sinivali Raka Chanu Matis Tata Sayam Darsham Ata Prata Purnamasam Anukramat Agnin Purishan Adhata Kriyayam Samanatara Charshani Varunas Yasid Yasyam Jato Brigu Puna. Datta, the seventh son of Aditi, had four wives named Kuhu, Sinuvali, Raka, and Anumati. These wives begot four sons named Shyam, Darsha, Pratak, and Purnamasa, respectively. The wife of Vidhata, the eighth son of Aditi, was named Kriya. In her, Vidhata begot the five fire gods named the Purishas. The wife of Varuna, the ninth son of a son of Aditi, was named Karshani. Bhrigu, the son of Brahma, took birth again in her womb. Valmikishcha Mahajogi, Valmikad Vibhavat Kila, Agastyascha Vashishyascha, Mitra Varunayor Rishi. By the summon of Varuna, the great mystic Valmiki took birth from an anthill. Bhrigu and Valmiki were specific sons of Varuna, whereas Agastya and Vashishta rishis were the common sons of Varuna and Mitra, the tenth son of Aditi. So today's verse, if you could please repeat. Reta Shishichatu Gurabhe Urvasya Sanidhado Sanidhau Jutam Revatyam Mitra Utsargam Arishtam Pipalam Vyadat Veta Shishi Chatu Kambe. Urvasya Sanidhau Drutam Revatyam Mitra Utsargam Arishtam Pipalam Vyadat. Please chant. Reta Shishu Chatu Kumbe Urvasya Sanidau Dhrutam Revatyam Mitra Utsargam. Ladies, Reta Shishu Shatumbe Urvasya Sanidau Dhrutam Revatya Mitra Utsargam. Reta Semen Shishi Chatu, discharged. Kumbe, in an earthen pot. Urvasya, of Urvashi. Sanidau, in the presence. Drutam, flown. Revatyam, in Revati. Mitra. Utsargam, Utsarga, Arishtam, Arishta, Pipalam, Pipala, Vindat, Bigat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Upon seeing Urvashi, the celestial society girl, both Mitra and Varuna discharged semen, which they preserved in an earthen pot. The two sons, Agastya and Vashishta, later appeared from that pot, and they are therefore the common sons of Mitra and Varuna. Mitra begot three sons in the womb of his wife, whose name was Revati. Their names were Utsarga, Arishta, and Pipala. Purport. Modern science is trying to generate living entities in test tubes by processing semen. But even long, long ago, it was possible for semen kept in a pot to develop into a child. So if there's no objections, we'll move on to the next verse. Unless there's some questions. Yes.
How?
How what? It's preserved in the pot. And then it's injected. So it was also injected, just like nowadays they're trying to do this artificial insemination. They gather semen and then they artificially inseminate it. Now they're trying to do it in the test tube, right? And they're trying to get the whole body formed. So even long ago, this was done. Put on ice. Text number 7. Polam yam indra adhata trinputrani tinashutam jayantam rishabham tata chittiyam medusham prabhu. Translation. O King Pariket, Indra, the king of the heavenly planets, and 11th son of Aditi, begot 3 sons, named Jayanta, Rishabha, and Midusha. In the womb of his wife Polami, in the womb of his wife Polami. Thus we have heard. Text number 8. Urukramasya devasya maya vimana rupina kirtau patyam britaj shlokas tasya sanso bhagadayo shobhagadayo. Translation. By his own potency, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has multifarious potencies, appeared in the womb in the form of a dwarf as Urukram, the 12th son of Aditi. In the womb of his wife, whose name was Kirti, he begot one son named Brihatshloka, who had many sons headed by Shobhaga. Purport. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:6, Ajopi sanave atma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim samadishtaya samavami atmamayaya. Quote, although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. End of quote. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnates, he does not need any help from the external energy, for he appears as he is by his own potency. The spiritual potency is also called Maya. It is said, Ato Maya Mayam Vishnum Pravadanti Manishina. The body accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Maya Maya. This does not mean that he is formed of the external energy. This Maya refers to his internal potency. Om Ajnanati Midandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Mulitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadayam Ayam Dadati Shabadandikam Gam Gurudeva Chalam Pangam Langayate Girimat Kibadamande Sri Gurudeva Dina Taranam. So there's a lot of names and a lot of information given in these first few verses. And we find this throughout different sections of the Bhagavatam. And the question may arise, what do we need this information for? But what it does is it proves that the Bhagavatam is not some speculation, but it's based on fact. It's not some allegorical writing or some mythology that someone decided to put together some poetic words and phrases, but it's a reality. So these details prove its reality, its efficacy. And so for our purposes, it helps us to, it reinforces the fact that this Vedic knowledge is real, and that it's not just some writings from bygone ages that really don't mean anything, just to make a copy, like they say in the newspaper industry. In order to make copy, we try to create some story, right? So we can get out some news, and we can agitate people's brain or something, try and make some profit. Exactly. No, but it's there to show us that there's a lot of richness in a Vedic culture, in Vedic philosophy, and of course we may not know who all these individuals are. Certain personalities are brought out, and like for instance the appearance of Urukram. Of course, that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's altogether different, as Prabhupada points out here in the purport. That's why he comments on this particular verse. That when the Lord appears, it's for specific reasons, like he says in the fourth chapter, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati parata, when there is a decline in the religious practices, and a predominant rise of irreligion, the Lord has to appear. And when he appears, it's by his own sweet will. It's not under any other condition that Krishna is under some material law that he has to appear in such and such way, or that we can put something together and create the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or create some special species or race or whatever. Just as Srila Prabhupada points out here, that modern science is trying to generate living beings. And their whole purpose is to do away with the position of the Personality of Godhead. They're trying to do away with his supreme position. That when Krishna comes, as Prabhupada points out here in this purport, Ajopi Sanavyatma, that Krishna, when he comes in his body, in his transcendental body, it's his original spiritual body. And although it may be a small child, as he appeared in Vrindavan, that small body, that small child's body, is full in spiritual potency, with all attractiveness and strength, with all beauty, just as when Krishna appeared in the cell with Devaki, he was supremely attractive, long, beautiful hair, and it reminds me of this exhibit that they have in Detroit. Years ago, I don't know if the Fate Museum is still operating there, but there's a very nice exhibit of Krishna appearing in the cell of Devaki and Vasudeva, and there's two forms there. There's a form of Krishna in his small baby-like form, but he's supremely attractive. He's completely adorned with beautiful jewels and beautiful hair. And then the next form, of course, is his full Vishnu form. So when Krishna appears, it's in his full majesty. It's not that he, again, is under some rule or some law. But he comes again in his full, with his full regalia, and he comes with a purpose, and that is to again reestablish religiosity in society, to not only annihilate, as he mentions in the next verse, Paritanaya Saranam, and not only to annihilate, but also to reform, as Srila Prabhupada points out later on in this chapter, that the Lord also appears to transform demons into devotees, as will be shown in the latter part of this chapter, as mentioned in the summary. The Maruts were transformed, although they were they took birth in the womb of Diti, because she had performed some devotional service. When Lord Indra came and cut that embryo into 49 parts, because she had performed some devotional service, they were elevated to the position of demigods. So when the Lord comes, it's not that he comes just to annihilate, but he comes to right the whole situation by also transforming the conditioned souls. But unfortunately, foolish people don't understand that. And they consider that when the Lord appears, it's just some material manifestation, avajanati mamudha. The foolish people, they think that Krishna is just some ordinary personality, just as they sometimes may even mock the devotees. Who are these foolish people? Just like last night we went in Harinam and there were some persons who were they were making some fun. And I happened to approach one of them. And we talked for just a few minutes. And then the devotees went along. They were walking along. And before I left the person, he said, you know, I've talked to a lot of people of different religions. And I've heard all of their different spiels. But I can see that you people have a real philosophy. So there's, foolish people may initially not appreciate the appearance of the Lord, or they may not appreciate the activities of devotees for that matter. But simply by a little bit of association, by some purification, they're appreciating maybe the chanting or maybe just the enthusiasm. Just as the devotees were dancing so enthusiastically, particularly Bhakta Josh. He was incredible. Haribo. Jeev Jago. They were particularly impressed by his being able to engage people. So that's also reformation. We're also reforming the mentality, particularly by association. So they can appreciate whether it be the chanting or the enthusiasm or the sound vibration or just the or prasadam. Of course, there's many ways that the conditioned souls can become attracted. But the idea is that even the most fallen persons can become transformed and appreciate Krishna consciousness. And again, this is related to the appearance of the Lord, that when he comes, he performs wonderful transcendental activities, as do his devotees. His devotees are also performing wonderful activities that they can also appreciate, and again, it proves that even the most fallen personalities, as Krishna explains again in the fourth chapter later on, Api Chai, what is that? Api Charashi Pabhebya. sarvebhyam eva kritamaha, that those who are even the most considered the most sinful of persons, when they're situated in the abode of transcendental knowledge, they're able to cross over that ocean, which is full of misery. So simply by a little bit of association, the most fallen persons can appreciate this transcendental knowledge. And in order to give them that transcendental knowledge, the Lord has to appear, but also his devotees have to make their appearance. They also have to make their appearance. Just as Krishna is appearing and giving his mercy in so many different ways, the devotees also have to, who are actually non-different, if they're presenting Krishna consciousness purely, they have to also make their appearance. And sometimes it may not be always easy. We don't have the same potency as the Lord. When he appears, he can do so many wonderful things by his by a slight movement of his hands. He can accomplish, he can annihilate so many personalities. But you know, the devotees, obviously we don't have that same ability, but we still have to make the endeavor. And the Bhagavatam explains, tapyante loka tapayina sarva prayasojana, that the devotees, they, by voluntarily making that attempt, that sacrifice of approaching or engaging the conditioned souls, the Lord becomes very satisfied, very pleased. And great things can be accomplished. There's a very nice verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Krishnadas Kaviraj explains that the devotees make a in their attempt to please the Lord have to undergo austerity, particularly renunciation. Mahaprabhu Bhakta Gana Vairagya Pradhan, that the devotees of the Lord, this principle of renunciation, and it's an important principle that one give up reservations, whatever reservations we have in devotional service, and of course there's plenty of them, but by that renunciation, that renunciation is the basic principle which sustains the lives of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And seeing that renunciation or that determination to give Krishna consciousness, it's extremely satisfying to the Lord. And so when the Lord appears, and wants to engage the conditioned souls, purify the atmosphere, he also desires to have the association of his devotees. So all of these details that we're hearing or hearing about here in the Bhagavatam, although they may seem not very important, actually, they are, because they're all related to Krishna's activities and the activities of his devotees. And And they're all meant for our purification. Again, I have to apologize for not being so prepared. This was in the last 5 minutes. But these verses, again, in my mind, they're very important in that the Bhagavatam is proving its value, it's proving its importance, and proving its reality by all these details. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. That was a good class, considering the situation there. My question is, why does Krishna care so much about the souls that have, you know, come here to the material world, rejecting him, rejecting his association, turning their back on him, basically, you know, betraying his trust, et cetera, and like criminals, you know, like here, like for instance, here in this world, we see there's no example of like a president of a country or a prime minister or a king that cares so much about criminals. You know, once these guys commit the crimes, they're put in the prison or the jail, and they just, you know, they made their bed, they got to lie in it. So what is Krishna's thing? Why is he so concerned about people who have gone against him, basically, and are just getting what they deserve?
Well, it's an exhibition of his supreme mercy. It's just like a parent. Prabhupada always gives this example of a parent and a child who may run out and live in the street. Still, the parent never forgets that child, and even the child may do so many things to that parent. I was just discussing or hearing this morning about one, a couple parents who in the community. Well, I shouldn't even said that, but who are struggling right now with their one of their children, who are forcing them out of their own home. So there's so many things that a child can do, but still the parent doesn't lose their love and concern. What to speak of Krishna, who has the supreme love and concern for the conditioned souls. So he doesn't want that we flounder out there in the streets or in the material world. So he does his best to bring us back. It's our natural position, and he knows, he's all-knowing, that when you're in your natural position, you're most happy. When you're out of that natural environment, it's very difficult. It's full of misery. So Krishna, again, he's supremely compassionate, and he wants all of us to be with him. So he goes through all sorts of extreme endeavors. He appears time and time again. He sends his representatives. He has to come in different forms and shapes and enact so many wonderful pastimes. It's all to attract the conditioned souls. It's just an exhibition of his extreme love and mercy. And it's unfortunately, you know, the living beings are so foolish. They're so illusioned that they forget it, right? That's our, we're marginal, so we're forgetting constantly. We're always having those Vishal moments, right? From yesterday, Vishal was trying to remember this, remember that. You know, we're all having those I'm just using Vishal's name out of jest. But we all have those moments where we're forgetting. So sometimes that forgetfulness lasts for hundreds of lifetimes. It doesn't just happen for a moment. And in order to come out of it, the Lord has to go through extremes in order to wake us up. He'll create a material world where you get kicked around enough, and then finally you snap out of it. Or he comes himself in one of his transcendental forms. Or he comes through his representatives. Or he comes through the holy name. It's all an exhibition of his supreme compassion. There's no other reason that I can think of. Yes, Prabhu.
Going back to the first question that was asked before your talk about Eric, I just wanted to clarify, because I think you answered that there was some injection and refrigeration involved.
Yes.
But that's not my understanding. And the verse clearly states that, you know, Mitra and Varuna, they discharged semen upon seeing or receive, was placed in a pot, and directly from that pot, Agastya and Vashishta were born.
Yeah.
It was, you know, because it's on a higher level of existence. They don't require all this technology that's going on here.
Yeah.
It's just directly they were born from the pot by the will of the fathers. It's not, and we have so many other examples in the Bhagavatam. For instance, even Vyasadeva's own birth. You know, yes, Parashurmuni did have, you know, relations with Satyavati, but he was born and grew up immediately. We don't have any other experience of that normally on this planet.
Yeah,
he came out of the womb and he just grew to full maturity immediately.
Or growing out of cheese.
Yeah, so on these higher levels of existence, they can do things that we are struggling to recreate with technology, which is what we just can't match.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, yeah, there was no injection into the womb of any mother. They were born directly from the pot.
Directly.
And, you know, we can't do that. If we could do that, then the place would be overrun with.
It just shows the inferior, although they may consider themselves advanced, but it's actually just, it's so far behind Vedic knowledge and experience, modern science, so-called modern science. Hare Krishna.
Where all the stories we read in Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's book, they only happened. It's not only on the earth, right? It's in all material universes. Do we know where and how? Because so many people asking, how can that be true here when it happens? So I cannot answer that question.
Well, there are histories, itihasas, they're coming from planets, from other planets, from higher planets, being passed on from guru to disciple. Sugadeva Goswami heard it, right? Or Suta Goswami is speaking here, but he heard it in the assembly with Sugadeva Goswami, and Sugadeva heard it from Vyasa. Vyasa is the incarnation of the Lord, so it's coming directly from Krishna. But how these things are being passed down and all that, I don't know if there's any specific literature that I can't think of, but by word of mouth in previous ages, and it's going from planet to planet. Narada Muni is traveling constantly. All the sages are traveling constantly, and these things get out there. Right? Even ISKCON news gets here and there. It doesn't happen by... it happens by word of mouth. We can take it as reality, because when you apply the principles of Krishna consciousness, they become revealed. The reality of it becomes revealed. And someone may say, well, it's just your opinion. Well, that's okay. You know, there are so many opinions out there. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of theories. But we happen to believe this, and our experience is that it's true. And who could make something up like this? And not even the movie producers could think of something like this.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. My question is related to children born out of the tubes, like by scientific method. Are those children different from the children that are born naturally and healthy? And also, yesterday I talked to my mom, and my mom said that in China, because of the food safety problem, a lot of chemicals are added to the food. So a lot of young people, they cannot get a child just by normal method. So they have to refer to science to get a children. So I wonder how will that impact the quality of future generations?
You know, I'm not a fertility expert. I don't know these. You know, whether they're normal or not, I have no idea. To me, it's an exhibition of their demoniac society, that people are so they've been so polluted that they can't even produce children. A society has become so degraded and it's been perverted so terribly that now a woman can't even produce a healthy child. It's very unfortunate, and they have to turn to some artificial method. And whether it produces, you know, a normal person, I guess time will tell. You know, their whole thing is, again, is to do away with Krishna, is to do away with God as the father of all living beings, as the one that we're dependent on, who's controlling and producing everything. So, again, it's just, to me, as time will tell. But again, it's just an exhibition of their trying to negate the position of the personality of Godhead. And ultimately, it has to fail. Any other comments on that? All righty. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.